Hey guys, guess what? Back again like a bad penny. It's Jen.
It's Carrie.
And we are doing big episode number 68. Moving right along. So, Carrie, how's your week been?
Busy. Busy. Really, really busy.
Well, you've had several changes. You've had a change in job structure. You've had a change. You've had the kids are coming close to being out of school, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Getting there. So, yeah, you've got a lot of changes you're dealing with, a lot of different stuff. Me, it's the same old, new job. Other than that, yeah, about the same.
Okay.
So, what are we discussing here today? We got a few things to go over before we get to the bulk of our podcast. One of which you had just told me just a little bit ago about the Loki series. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, and this is a complicated kind of can of worms. It has to do with Disney Plus and the platform that they're using to give us this content that we really like. But they have basically on their website changed the date of Loki season 2 from summer 2023. To quote unquote indefinitely.
Right. To be released. TBR.
Right.
And not just Loki. They have done that to several of this series. There's one that's not scheduled to be released until, I believe, 2025.
Right.
So, yeah, we were looking up to see if we could figure out just exactly what the problem is. Now, to start with, I thought maybe the cost was prohibitively high because I don't watch TV, guys. I just don't. I watch my Loki series. I watch Hiddleston in depth, but if I want to watch a movie, I pull it up on my Kindle. I don't do streaming services. I don't do cable. So a lot of this stuff I really have no idea about. So I looked it up. The cost for Disney Plus is not bad at all. If you want Disney, Hulu, and ESPN with no ads at all, the total cost is $19.99 a month.
Okay.
So that doesn't sound too extraordinarily high. I mean, I don't do streaming, so is that a bad price there, Carrie? Or?
You know, you're getting three. It's not bad if you're into sports. So you're getting Disney Plus, you're getting ESPN, and you're getting Hulu.
Now, just to clarify, too, for just Disney Plus and Hulu, it's $9.99 a month.
Right, right. Is that ad-free? Do you know?
Let's see.
Because, you know what? Frankly,
It is not ad-free.
Wow. Okay. If you can tolerate ads, that's okay. Me, myself, I've gotten kind of used to paying a little extra to not get ads.
Right.
But you and I we're people of a certain age that, you know, whenever a commercial came on, that's when you get up and you make a sandwich.
Or fix yourself a drink or...
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Do something real quick. And so, you know, it's not so bad.
I do the subscribing to the music channels.
Yeah, right.
To get those with no ads.
On Spotify.
Right.
Exactly. That is my indulgence.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that being said, you know, not so bad. And it's really because, and we can get into this if you want, but it's Hulu that's actually like pushing me over the line to sign up for a subscription service, and it's not Disney Plus.
Okay, I have a question. Okay, streaming is all about being able to watch what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So even maybe the people that I've been watching movies with have the no ads, I don't know, but would they interrupt the actual show with ads, or is that like a before and after kind of thing, or
It's a during.
Ah, I see. During the actual.
Yeah, it's a during. It's just like television programs that you and I remember up until like last week, like for God's sake.
Like the made-for-TV movies. I got gotcha.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Like TV. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. See, like I said, I don't know. I've never had a movie interrupted with ads, but that may be because the people I'm watching movies with, they do the no ads thing. So, you know, not yeah. Maybe.
But I remember back in the day, we would watch James Bond movies on ABC,
yes.
ABC Network, and commercials would come on, and it was fine. I kind of wonder if your more recent, like millennial and Gen Z, they've gotten used to clicking past and waiting 5 seconds for right. the commercial pass. They're just going to, you know, do it. Or if you're okay with watching a commercial or a series of commercials that takes about 90 seconds, you know, and a lot of people are just impatient.
90 seconds to 3 minutes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, or longer or shorter.
But it's usually between 90 seconds and 3 minutes from what I'm looking at here.
But, you know, the battle with Thanos during, you know, the Infinity War, it, all of a sudden there's a commercial. You know, I don't know.
That would be rough to have to deal with, actually.
Right.
So.
And so here we are, you know, and they want to sell you $19.99 commercial free. You get it for all three services, Disney Plus, ESPN.
ESPN does have ads. It does state that on the subscription page. ESPN with ads, Disney Plus, and Hulu without.
Okay, yeah, ESPN, you're probably, yeah, football games, sorry, you're going to get ads.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way around it. I mean, otherwise, you're just watching guys kind of walk around on the field and coaches getting angry. You
right.
know? So that kind of makes sense.
While that is entertaining.
Actually, sorry, that.
Oh, who wouldn't want to see a bunch of great big sweaty guys wearing shoulder pads yelling at each other? Come on.
Well, you know, during the commercial breaks, Coach Cowher in the 90s, the coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's when he would grab his players by their helmets.
Oh, by the face masks.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you didn't see that during the commercial break.
Oh, no. No, no.
But that's why Coach got kicked off. You didn't see it because we were watching a Smithfield Hams commercial, but that's why he got kicked off.
Or the new Budweiser commercial, you know.
Yeah. Oh, of course, the Budweiser commercials.
Oh, and half the people I know that watch the Super Bowl watch it for the Budweiser commercials.
Yeah, so you kind of want it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so we were just curious as to why Disney Plus is tanking all of a sudden. And it's not all of a sudden, though. This has been going on for a while.
You're starting to address an elephant in the room.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with Disney's, ever since Walt himself and the family opened it up, and it became, what was it, it's a CEO-type business now, right? It's no
That's
longer
right.
family-owned.
They have a board.
Right.
That's right.
And ever since that happened, all of a sudden, everybody's supposed to be woke. We want to be woke. Let me tell you, as the friend of many transgendered people, gay people, straight people, all kinds of people, a lot of the LGBT community believes this whole woke thing is a bunch of crap. So,
It's
pissing off even the LGBTQ community, which is who they're supposedly working towards being friends with. And you guys will have to forgive the beeps and the rings. Both of us have work stuff going on, so just ignore it. Pretend like it didn't happen.
Funny. Right. I'm ignoring it.
Absolutely. But yeah, the whole deal is just ridiculous. And the new Little Mermaid they're coming out with, or not Little Mermaid, what is it? It is the Little Mermaid they're coming out with, where people are up in arms because they have a woman of color playing the Little Mermaid. Are you kidding me? I tell you what, find me a mermaid, and we can ask them if they're offended.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know,
and if you don't, and if, I don't know, personally, I think if you're a dick and you don't agree with this, then just don't watch it. There's no need for you to, you know, megaphone. Oh, this is awful.
I have said it before, and I will say it again, and I will keep saying it until my ass is in the ground. Freedom of choice, people. You have the right to choose whatever you would like. However, it is not your right to choose for anyone else. They have the same freedoms as you. They should have the same strength of their decisions as you. So, you know, you don't like it, don't do it. Gay marriage, don't like it, don't get one. Guns, don't like them, don't get one. You know, all the way up, abortion, don't like it, don't get one. But it's not up to you to decide for someone else. So, that being said, sorry, I'll step down off my soapbox now. That being said, you know, this whole cramming the, quote, woke atmosphere down people's throats, that is getting very tedious, very boring, and very tiring very quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, being a lifelong liberal, I have to strongly agree. You know, everybody's just gotten kind of militant. And now we're putting that in our entertainment.
Right.
And, you know, you just don't have to, you know what, if you didn't like the last James Bond, if you didn't like Daniel Craig, you didn't have to watch his movies.
Exactly.
You know, it's keeping it like a light thing. If you don't like a woman of color being Ariel,
don't watch it.
Well, don't, yeah, you know, then watch the animated one.
Or, you know,
it's fine.
What, just, I mean, I'm sorry, you got a problem with a woman of color being the Little Mermaid, but you don't have a problem with a human female falling in love with a big hairy monster. Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Come on now.
Well, and you know, also we have to think about the merits of whatever this work is that you just made. Is it any good?
Right.
You know, if people are not getting, you know, woke as it is, if it's not good, people that are your target demographic are not going to watch it.
Absolutely.
You know, or are going to like, you know, if it's not good, it's not good.
Absolutely agreed. But yeah, so Disney is tanking. We're concerned. We're not concerned enough to spend money where there's no need, but we're concerned. I'd hate to see them go down the tubes, and that would really upset me to see the channel itself go off the air. But yeah, they're going to have to do something, and they need to figure out what that is fairly quickly.
Well, Jen, one of the reasons that it's tanking is, let's face it, Marvel Phase 4
sucked.
Has not delivered like
they sucked. Are.
We're on Phase 4 now, you know.
Sucked.
Phase.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I honestly think that Disney and the MCU is choosing the wrong stories to tell. Maybe it's because of wokeness. Maybe it's because they're just making bad decisions, but we could have had better writers doing better stories for better characters.
Absolutely, and have fewer of them, but better content.
Yeah, well, you know, Ms. Marvel and a lot of people have gotten on that franchise's ass because it's a Muslim American. Me, I'm okay with it, certainly.
Right.
But not a strong character. Why are we not doing Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
You know, properly. Why aren't we doing, you know, Kraven the Hunter, that fantastic, classic, super sympathetic Spider-Man villain?
Right.
That ended up really kind of being an anti-hero. Why haven't we talked about that?
Yep. There are so many other avenues that that the MCU could travel down, and they're not. So,
right.
You know, and you know, maybe it's because they're trying to ride the coattails of the you know, the first phases that turned out so well. But, you know, and maybe it's because they have an ultimate idea of how to bring everything intermixed and together. But, you know, come on, if it's not working, it's not working. Shut it down and try something else.
We've just oversaturated with fucking superheroes anyway. DC, they're not doing great with their recent spate of movies. Black Adam, underperformed. The last Shazam 2, which came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God, I didn't realize Shazam had come out. That's pretty bad. I didn't even realize the first one had come out.
Yeah, right. And you know what? The second one, either you didn't know or you didn't care.
Right.
You know, and so we are now getting in a saturated market where superhero movies, you're going to have to, you can't just do like little chapters. You have to bring
right
your A-game every time. And we've been seeing A-game for 10, 15 years, and it's...
And we've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to the A-game, yes, so when they don't bring the A-game, we're like, oh, screw this. This is horrible.
Yes. When you bring the bar up that high, well...
You have to continue to perform that well. Like, I'm sorry, Multiverse of Madness, the next Doctor Strange movie. That movie kicked ass.
I would argue that it's the last good one and might be the last good one for a while.
Well, my point
a lot of people are saying it's the benchmark.
My point with
you're seeing it.
My point with this movie though is you did not have to watch the first Doctor Strange to understand this one. You did not have to watch any of the other Marvel movies. You could have pulled this movie off the shelf at the video store when there used to be such a thing and not heard of the first character in it. Popped it in your VCR or your DVD player, watched it, and it would have made perfect sense. You did not have to have the background of the other movies in order to understand this one. And for me, with all the movies that they've got coming together, all the different threads they've got coming together, I love seeing them bounce off each other. However, the movie itself has to stand alone. If it does not stand alone, then there's an issue. The of course, there's always an exception, like the Avengers series, but that was touted as a series. It was not each individual movie. It was a series. Now, the Doctor Strange movies, each one of them stands alone. And I think that is incredibly, incredibly A-game. It's amazing. I really, really enjoyed those types of movies, and I'd like to see more of them.
You're right.
But now, Hiddleston himself has said that there is no such thing as an original thought anymore. Everything has been done. Everything has been thought. Everything has been seen. It's just a matter of interpretation at this point.
Right.
So.
And you know, that brings up, you know, with Todd being so aware, you know, if they continue this, Marvel, for another couple of years, you're not going to get the talent.
No.
That, you know, I can see Hiddleston being like, you know what, it definitely ran its course, and Loki season 2 was bittersweet, but I am definitely done with the franchise, and everybody else.
He actually wanted to be... And not saying that he didn't like Loki or the character, when he put on the costume to do the first season, he said it was like he looked in the mirror and went, "Oh wow, there you are! I haven't seen you in a while." You know,
right?
It was like greeting an old friend. But at the end of the first season, he said that he thought that that was the end to the Loki character.
Right.
However, they have now with just the first season, they have opened the door for Loki to come back to the movies. I don't know that they'll be able to talk Tom into it.
Exactly.
I do not think so.
No. And I can't blame them. You know, when you have a high caliber actor, you don't want to get that albatross around your neck.
He was 32. I believe. You see, the first movie came out in 2011, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Okay, so they filmed it in 2010. Okay, so he was 29 when they filmed it. He was 30 when they released it.
Yeah.
Okay? He was 30. He is now 42.
Right.
Yeah. There's... Loki is supposed to be timeless. He's not supposed to age.
No. So it would look like Brent Spiner trying to come back 20-something years later as Data on Star Trek: The Next Generation. Oh, and that's not working.
It's kind of like I don't know. There was that movie that the guy came back after 40 years. They did a room. Oh yeah, Top Gun.
I haven't seen Top Gun. That apparently worked.
I have heard that it was amazing.
Yeah, that's something I need to Redbox. That being said, I'm going to spend $1.25. I'm going to go to a Redbox and watch it in one night. I don't need a streaming service like Disney Plus or HBO Max or any of them.
And you don't
gonna
need
to see this movie.
And you don't need to sit there and pay what? Between $15 and $25 for a movie ticket and popcorn and drinks. And you know, there's two people going to the movies, you best put aside $50 to $100 because that's what you're going to spend. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Jen, honey, I really do think that streaming services are going to be the death of several franchises. The DC franchise, certainly. The Marvel franchise, probably.
Oh, that's going to suck.
Well, I mean...
But the thing is we will always have what's already here. So,
yes.
You know, it does kill it, it was a great run. It was amazing. And all we can do is say, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I really appreciate, because I always loved superheroes. And I hate to bury the corpse, you know, before it's dead, but I will always really appreciate this run that the MCU did.
You said it, and I don't even think you realized it. I just realized when the MCU started to tank.
When?
When Stan Lee passed away.
Yeah.
They used the material that he had already outlined. And once that was gone, that's when it started to tank.
Yeah, and within the last couple of months, they've already had a few guys that were creative producers with the MCU that have already jumped ship.
Right.
So,
well,
if
they're not being listened to, if their advice is not being at least considered, then I can't blame them. I mean, that's what they are there for. Is to keep the shows and the character of the MCU and the flavor, the outline of the MCU, to keep it honest, to keep it where Stan Lee would have wanted it. And if they're not being listened to, then hell yeah, I'd jump ship too.
Yeah, you know, at this point, maybe this is good for Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston as fans of their careers. You know, maybe this will kind of kill it, and we can watch and see what these two actors choose creatively.
Right.
Will probably be pretty great.
Speaking
of Hiddleston, kind of in the shadow of Loki, you know, I get it, you know.
That is the character that made him famous.
Yes.
However, or made him famous worldwide, should I say. However, he's done so many other things. It would be, that would be like saying, I saw the light made his career tank, you know.
Well, that being said, if there's no Loki, now he's going to have to depend on stuff like, I saw the light.
True.
You know, or King Kong, which is going to make him kind of one of those. He's an English actor.
I'm a super fan of James Conrad.
Yeah, you know, I think Johnny's career will survive, and if it doesn't, Johnny is fine, ladies and gentlemen. That
Absolutely.
Being said, even if Johnny doesn't work again, Johnny is going to be fine.
Except for the fact that that's what keeps him going, that's what keeps him young, is working.
Well, you know, he'll end up going into some, like, crazy, some kid from Madrid ends up coming up with an idea for a student film, and he'll do it, and he'll be satisfied.
Right. This is
true.
You know,
but I really do think that, you know, Tom, John, again, hey, let's say Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, those sort of people.
Oh, those guys.
Going to basically say, I'm just going to kind of get out of this and go back to what I was doing beforehand.
Yep.
And I really do think that you're going to see a lot of people that had a fantastic, you know, character on an NBC show on TV for 3 years. They're all of a sudden the new Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four, and nobody's really going to care.
Right. Yep.
You know.
Yep. Well, we have been so oversaturated with, because, okay, in the 1980s, I know we went over this last, a couple of weeks ago, but I know that how many, name one superstar, like superstar that would have been known worldwide. Name one from the 80s.
Sylvester Stallone.
Okay, Sylvester Stallone. Name me, do you think you could come up with five more that are known worldwide now? I know I couldn't. There's no way in hell I could come up with five stars in the 80s that were known worldwide.
No, I cannot.
How about
point
now?
Is well taken.
How about now? We are so super saturated with superstars that the next big thing really isn't. We have got, you know, we've killed ourselves with the superstardom. You've got Johnny Depp, you've got Tom Hiddleston, you've got the ones that you just named, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson. We've got, outside of the Marvel Universe, we've got Meryl Streep. We've got, help me out here. Daniel Craig with the Bond movies. You've got...
Channing Tatum.
Yep.
You've got...
Winona Ryder.
Got a lot of people. Yeah. David Harbour, who was her co-star.
Right. Christina Ricci. You know, you've got mega stars that are known all over the world, and we're just bored with it. You know?
Yeah, and we're bored with kind of those projects. And, you know, I'm hoping that for us and Johnny's career and for us and Tom's career, that in a way they will walk away from these Disney projects and do something that they will find meaningful. Something that's like really great, story driven, well acted, and we're like, holy shit, Tom is now in line for an Oscar.
Right. Or you know, Johnny is well overdue for one.
Well, he's not going to get an Oscar for Loki, and he's not going to get an Oscar for King Kong. That being said, he is an Oscar level actor.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that this will divert his attention to greater roles.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely. And that is a great segue into where we are going with this podcast. Now, we're already half an hour in, so we are probably going to do this in two parts because we do have a lot. I didn't realize, Carrie, when you suggested doing a piece on Tom's historical roles, I did not realize what a massive project that would be. Now, just about the movies that I know about, I saw the light. Yeah, it bombed, but it was still a period piece. It was a historical piece. It was Hank Williams' life. Now, Hank Williams...
And it still did okay. I mean, it's still... Yeah. I still defend that role.
Tom was brilliant. The writing adds... There was too much downtime. Now, Hank Williams only lived... He was 29 years old when he passed away.
Amazing. Holy
and
shit.
Everything that he did, he was only 29 years old. And he passed away in... he passed away on January 1st, 1953.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But yeah, Tom was brilliant in that role. You could call that, you know, that was definitely a historical piece. But I got to looking, and every movie that he's done, besides, I can think of three. The Marvel series counting as one. I can think of three characters he's played. Four. I have to take that back. Four. That are not, quote, period pieces. Nope. I have to take that back. Three, because Kong is a period piece as well. It was set during the Vietnam War.
That's right. Right, right.
But there's High Rise. Is I wouldn't consider that a period. I wouldn't even consider that a realistic piece. But High Rise, the Loki series, and Only Lovers Left Alive. That one stands just outside of time. There's not even a way to focus that on any given time period.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, every movie I've seen him in has been somewhat of a period piece. War Horse is the story of a boy who raises this horse, and the horse is sold to the British military during World War I. Now, Hiddleston, even though he's, you know, his headlining on this movie nowadays, he's only in it for a very brief period. His character actually gets killed within the first, like, half hour of the movie. So, so you know, but this was set during World War I, right before the apex of World War I. So that's a period piece. Crimson Peak was centered in the late 1800s.
It definitely a period piece.
Definitely there. And then, of course, you had I Saw the Light. Deep Blue Sea, he did in 2011, is centered just after World War II. Then you've got, you have to consider Early Man as well. Definitely a period piece.
You do.
Definitely a period piece. Prehistoric period piece, but period piece nonetheless.
Yes.
Then I got to looking at his television career. And now, he has not been big on television here in the States, but anyone overseas, anybody in England, anybody in the United Kingdom, y'all know him, y'all love him. He's done a lot as far as that goes. Nicholas Nickleby.
Of course.
I know.
All roads lead back to the life and adventures of Nicholas Nickleby.
It all does. Every single thing. And this is actually, I'm trying to see what the years are. I believe it is around World War II that this piece, that this series has, or the movie was based around.
Uh-huh.
It was based on a, I do apologize for the pause. It was based on a book written by, by Charles Dickens called Nicholas Nickleby, and that was written in 1839.
Yeah.
So even if it was contemporary then, it's a period piece now.
Yeah.
So then he's got a couple others. He is in one called Conspiracy, which is about the WinSea Conference during the start of World War II.
That's right.
And it deals with the psychology of the Nazi officials who were the ones to originally come up with the, quote, solution to the Jewish question.
Yes, the final solution.
Final solution, that's it. Now, Tom only appears briefly in that one as a telephone operator at the beginning and at the very end of the film. And it was a made-for-TV movie. Then he was also in The Gathering Storm, which is a biographical about Winston Churchill in the years leading up to World War II. Again, World War II. Tom actually plays Randolph Churchill, who is the son of Winston.
Right.
And then he's also in a 2005 movie called A Waste of Shame, and that details William Shakespeare's life during the writing of his sonnets. So, yeah, that's where I stopped. Because that's not even touching on his stage performances.
His television stuff. He was like Henry V.
Yeah, right. I didn't even mention the Hollow Crown series. Yep, where he plays Prince Hal in the fourth part, 1 and 2, and then he plays Henry V in Henry V.
Okay. The past 2 minutes of us basically talking about these credentials that he's done.
Right.
It creates a real juxtaposition between the roles that he's chosen and the roles that Depp has chosen. Let's face it, Tom, and he's gotten into the Hollywood thing like a lot of British actors do, Cumberbatch and, you know, Paul Bettany.
Cumberbatch, who was also in Hollywood.
But when it comes down to it, he definitely does very British, definitely very British roles.
His heart is definitely for the British roles.
Yes, yes. And Johnny, with several exceptions, actually. Johnny, I would dare say, is doing some serious Americana parts.
At the same time, they're both doing movies and pieces that mean something to them.
Correct.
With only a couple of exceptions right at the beginning of Johnny's career, every movie that he has done, he's done because he wanted to. Not one did he do for the money.
Right. So, yes, he was choosy.
Yes.
He was choosy.
Yes. He's one that has said that he's been touted as the actor who has made his career out of failures.
Yes. Yes. Successfully.
Right. And then you've got Tom, who, the only criticism, even if you could call it that I would have about Tom's choices is they seem to me that they're safe, because with the exception of the Marvel Universe, I would say they're safe because they're going to appeal to a certain demographic, and the people watching the period pieces, they're not looking for the flash and dash that most people expect from Hollywood movies. They're looking for the staid, steadfast, honest type of biographical storytelling that you do get from the BBC. So that's the reason I would say they're safe.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have touted and loved his performance with The Night Manager.
Oh, yes.
And that was a non-period piece. I would argue that is probably his most successful venture outside of movies.
And you would probably be right.
Yeah, you know, and him hitting another project like that, I think he needs to do something like that again.
I'm afraid, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, though.
Yeah, he needs to do some contemporary roles. I really do think that.
I agree with you completely. Let's see. What do you know about his stage performances, if anything?
Well, so his stage has been tons and tons of, if you will, quote-unquote, older English stuff. He did Hamlet. He was Hamlet. He was in Othello back in 2008. He ended up doing, I don't know if it counts, but it's, you know, 1999, but he did Journey's End, and that was set in, like, 1928. after the First World War. He loves that niche, and hell, he did Ivanhoe, you know, which right. is a goddamn Russian Anton Chekhov 1887 theater production, and he did that theater production, and it was a period piece. I really think that he should. I think that he's a, outside of his roles, he's a thoroughly 21st century actor with 21st century sensibilities, and he needs to just go ahead and, dude, just do, you know, just do something modern.
Yeah, that, I mean, I would really love to see that. I'm looking to see if, and I've got to, let's see. I'm looking to see if I can find Hiddleston's TV roles, as in sorted by popularity, to see which you know, which of the TV shows that he's done is the most popular.
Yeah, it's gonna be some Sky One or some BBC stuff.
Right, but all I'm finding is the list of TV shows and movies together. And of course, you know, most of them, you've got Loki, you've got the King Kong, you've got Darwin's Secret Notebooks, where he talks. He does the...
Yeah, he was the narrator.
Thank you. I'm getting old, people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, he doesn't, and I love him, and I know that he's an incredibly capable actor, but he could take a page from, you know, Johnny Depp and kind of do, he could stretch his legs a bit.
Yes, yes, definitely could. Yeah, I'm, and everything I'm pulling up is all movies.
Right.
So I will continue looking and see if I can find any information on that to see, because I would, now I'm curious to see which one of his TV roles would have been rated like number one.
I loved him in those Jaguar commercials where he was a, you know, and it was yes. years ago, but he was a very thoroughly modern, you know, villain.
Right.
You know, Tom Hiddleston in the 21st century, I want to see that.
Yep, that, yeah, Tom Hiddleston in the commercials that could not be shown on American television because it encouraged yeah. young people to drive recklessly.
Right.
So, yeah.
That being said, can I also throw down, he's already made his millions.
Yes.
And I know he loves acting, but he could just kind of raise this kid and live off some residuals.
He very well could. He does have a... it's in pre-production right now. He's got another TV movie coming out.
What is it?
Let's see, is it a TV? Yeah, it's a TV movie. It's called The White Darkness. There is not a release date on it yet. It is in pre-production. He is the main character.
Hmm.
So, but you have to imagine he is going to be doing more roles closer to home now that he has the little one, you know. The little one and the wife. So, yeah, definitely he's going to be staying closer to home. But yeah, I will continue to look to see if I can find a list of his TV roles. If I have to, I'll do a search on each one and see what I can come up with as far as popularity goes. When I have the time to do that. But the man has done some amazing things. And with Hamlet, now he can recite Hamlet front to back anytime, day or night. He's got that one down. That's his favorite Shakespeare. And, of course, Shakespeare is his favorite writer as far as the plays and the sonnets go. So, But yeah, the period pieces that he has done contrast very sharply, as you said, with the more modern or more fantastical things that Depp has done. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, these guys are two sides to the same coin. They are exactly the opposite. They have so much in common, but they just seem exactly the opposite of each other as well. The way they handle stress, the way they deal with things, the movie roles they pick. Just one of those things, just one more thing to add to the list of reasons why we want to see the two in a movie together. They would either hit it off and get along famously, or they would hate each other on sight.
Yeah. I would like to think that they would have mutual respect, and at least if they didn't get along, they would keep it muted.
Oh, of course. Oh, that's a given, but as they're both professionals. That's not even.
Right.
but yeah, I would love to be a fly on the wall the first time these two meet. Or the first time these two have to act together. I would love to be a fly on the wall to see that. That would be amazing.
Yeah. You know, I would love to see... I would actually love to see Johnny Depp do a sequel to Donald Trump's Art of the Deal, the movie.
Oh, God,
and he
yes.
played Donald Trump.
Yes, he did.
You know, I would love to see, like, a follow-up, and I could see Hiddleston doing, like, a part there, you know.
I could see
he
it.
He does an okay American accent, you know. He just flattens.
Yeah, he doesn't do badly at all. But yeah, I can't imagine a role in a Donald Trump movie that would suit Hiddleston.
Well, he would be playing the villain, so.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. So, anyway. Everything that we said about, you know, wokeness that might have pissed off any liberals when we, you know, first started this podcast.
If there are any liberals, if there are any liberals with any sense, it won't have pissed them off.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. If you're close-minded and liberal. That being said, can we go to the other side and see Tom Hiddleston, you know, playing a villain in a Donald Trump, The Art of the Deal, the movie sequel?
Oh, that would be incredible.
You know, we saw towards the last few episodes of the Loki series him being, like, the political...
Right. Oh,
you know,
there you go.
And that's where I'm kind of going with this. And, you know, hey, thank God.
That would be perfect. A crossover. Yes. Do a crossover. Yeah. Donald Trump meets Loki. Meets President Loki.
What?
Donald Trump meets President Loki.
All right. Somebody please do a fan fiction of this.
I may have to write that one.
You might need to write that one. And throw some sex in it.
I have to. It's my book. I don't write anything without sex. Come on, if I'm not having it, I might as well write about it.
Right. Especially with Tom Hiddleston and Johnny Depp.
Oh, God. Oh, you just ruined. Oh, man, I'm going to have that image in my mind for days now.
The what image? Oh, my God.
We were talking about writing sex into the book, and you said, yeah, with Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston, and now I have the image of Johnny Depp as Donald Trump with Tom Hiddleston. Ah! Thanks, Carrie.
I didn't mean to ruin anybody's erections or wetness with that statement. I apologize.
Yeah, Donald Trump may be a lot of things. A sex symbol, he is not, unless money turns you on.
Yeah, my money's on Hiddleston or Depp on that three.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Yup. But I'm sorry, I just glanced up at my muted TV and saw a picture of Stan Lee. I'm like, what the hell?
And you know, I think you're right. When Stan Lee, the spiritual inspiration for all of this past, is when everything started to kind of go downhill.
Well, Stan was the creator of most of these superheroes, and he held very tight reins on what he would allow and what he would not allow.
Oh, yeah.
And,
sure.
You know, he
well,
just...
And, you know, it wasn't just he ran a tight rein over it. It was also all of those people. It was understood Right. You don't disappoint Stan Lee.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You maybe never even met Stan Lee, but you're not going to screw this up because Stan
is watching. Exactly. Yep. And
it was like a weird quality control.
Well, he was so well loved. He was such a nice guy. That's all you hear from anybody who's ever met him, talked to him, dealt with him, worked with him, is that he was such a great guy. He was such a nice guy. Even being the multi-millionaire creator of, pretty much single-handedly, of the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that he was very down to earth. He was very realistic. He knew what was possible and what was not. If he made a suggestion and they said, we can't do that, he said, okay. You know, he didn't try to make people create new, software for the special effects.
And, yeah, right.
You know, he understood limitations, and he also understood how to keep the film modern and also hold to the spirit of each of the characters.
Okay.
And,
all right. Oh, whoa, okay. Well, okay.
And that's what he did. I mean, that is
exactly... It was the spirit.
Yeah. He held to the spirit of the characters while still taking a character that he created in the 40s or 50s and bringing it into modern day.
Okay. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just asking.
Sure.
Because I have my own opinion, and I'm going to throw it out there.
But of course.
Do you suppose that when Stan Lee passed, it was, in fact, like the safeties were off and the producers were like, well, we can do whatever we want?
I'm kind of leaning that way, but I'm one of those. I don't have enough information to make that call. But I am leaning in that direction, that they were like, okay, well, you know, we wanted to do this before and he wouldn't let us, but now we can.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But, and, you know, who knows what details were left as far as, you know, his will, his, you know, how his contracts were worded, anything like that.
His properties.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, we don't know any of that. So, you know, but I can't imagine that he would have reined them in, so to speak, with the contract wording and with a will, you know, with his last will and any of that. I just can't see him doing that because people know he is the creator. They also know that while he was alive, his character stayed true. And what happens to his characters after he passes, I don't think he was concerned with.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, to submit for evidence, those Spider-Man movies that Sam Raimi did with Tobey Maguire.
Right.
You know, those were, you know, and you can say what you want about them. Personally, I enjoyed them.
I love Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Well, he definitely had a hand in that. And quite frankly, I think he helped to pull that off. Like Spider-Man, those films were probably your best evidence, if we were to go to court, over Stan Lee keeping the spirit.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and then the MCU came.
Right.
You know, and I think that he did kind of, as executive producer, in a way. Plus, these guys, we're talking about, like, you know, Landau, we're talking about Josh Whedon. You know, they were like, oh my God, it's Stan Lee.
Right.
I cannot disappoint him.
Yep.
And, you know, they kept it because of him. And now that he's gone, we're getting on, you know, MCU Phase 3 and Phase 4, and it seems like it's lacking direction.
Now, the exception to the... Because, I'm sorry, forgive me, the new Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland?
Yeah.
They have their place, and they are very decent movies. I've got no problem with the movies themselves. However, the ones with Tobey Maguire,
they started falling off there. That was awful.
But I have to say, the exception is the crossover where they brought all of the Spider-Men together along with Doctor Strange in, was it Homecoming?
Yep.
Or No Way Home?
They had Andrew Garfield.
Yep.
They had Tobey Maguire.
That's the only reason I wanted to see the movie at the theater is because of Tobey Maguire. That is Spider-Man. No offense, Tom Holland. And Tom Holland does make a very decent Spider-Man. But Tobey Maguire, I mean, that's the first person I saw as that character. And that will always be the Spider-Man.
Well, that's like a lot of Bond fans that are like, we've done all these fantastic Bond movies, but Sean Connery is still,
right?
You know, the original, right.
Absolutely.
Tobey Maguire was fantastic.
He was, and he had such a sweet demeanor. Throughout, but
you know,
see,
he had
Tom,
his eyes and his like innocent look.
Tom Holland has the same.
Yeah, and, you know, he does really, really great. He was better than, I don't know his opinion, but he was better than, you know, Garfield.
I never saw any of them with Garfield.
Yeah, you know, and Emma Watson, you know, as,
Okay, Emma Watson as Mary Jane?
She was Gwen.
Oh, Gwen. Okay.
Yeah, she was Gwen Stacy. Yeah, they ended up going back and doing, like, the original, like, it's Gwen Stacy.
Okay, I'm going to have to go and look that up because I love Emma Watson. Did not realize.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, I love Emma Watson. She's amazing.
Emma Watson's pretty great, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah.
Can I ask her opinion, actually, on... Since we're kind of on the subject of right before pre-MCU films and Spider-Man, what did you think of the right before pre-MCU movies that were the Hulk? Where we had like Eric Bana, where Jennifer Connelly was Betsy Rose.
If you want my honest opinion, I preferred Lou Gehrig.
Ooh, okay. And that's, yeah.
Or not Lou
Gehrig. I think I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, it was Lou Gehrig, right? No,
yeah.
It was, the original Hulk, the TV series.
Oh, geez, you're talking about like...
Yeah, the 70s, 80s.
The TV show with Lou Ferrigno?
Lou Ferrigno, that's it.
Bill Bixby.
Love Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk.
Oh my God. All right.
But yeah, see, once again, it's all because that's more like the comic book than anything they do now.
And, you know, to their credit, they, you know, use Lou Ferrigno up until the last Hulk movie.
They used his voice.
Ferrigno's voice. Yes.
Yes, they did. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I loved that. I thought that was just classic because they could not get the mix of sounds for the Hulk roar to sound right.
Yeah, babe, he sounds like the Hulk.
He does. And, I mean,
yes.
He was... But just like the whole Batman thing when I said the first Batman was the best Batman movie, it's because it's the closest to the comic book that you will find.
Yeah.
So... You know, that goes for the same, for the actual Hulk series as well, is it's closer to the comic book than any of the movies are nowadays.
And this is why you really like Tobey Maguire
as
Spider-Man, because it was so very close.
Yes. Absolutely. And, I mean, some of the changes they made were cool, like, you know, I always did wonder why Aunt May, if she's his mother's or father's sister, why is she like his grandparents' age?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I always wondered about that. They fixed that in the newer movies.
Okay. That being said, and I think you and I being people of a certain age, if we look like Marissa Tomei as an Aunt May, we've been doing something right.
I'm telling you. I'd like
but her everyone. Age matches up. Her age does match up.
It does, but all I have to say is I am so very glad she's not my aunt.
Why?
I know you did not just ask that.
Because the boys would be going for the aunt instead of...
No, because I would hate to have a hard-on for my aunt.
Ha 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 ha! that, need to address that first.
You're that right. would that be kind of gross. Great,
that would be a great side plot for a Spider-Man movie.
Oh, there you go.
like Black Cat, you know, finally finds Spider-Man, but she's like, whoa, who's this?
Exactly.
And she finds a MILF.
No kidding, right? But, yeah. You know, it's not like I'm going to meet any of these guys. I've about put to rest my my dream of having my guys sign my tattoos. I just don't see it happening because I don't see them coming anywhere I would be. And I don't see me being able to go anywhere they would be. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. But, you know, it is what it is. Welcome. And we just have to deal with what we got. So,
yeah, Alabama-Georgia border.
Well,
they're
you
not
know.
Coming down here.
I know, I'm telling you. Please. They would be welcome anytime, but I can't imagine them wanting to come this far south.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A superhero in Atlanta that is fighting crime, but also definitely wearing a body cam and is not putting his hands on anybody.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway. So, but regardless, that the dream lives on. We're still going to hope, but as far as actually thinking it might actually happen, probably not. But you never know.
You know, I have really liked this episode simply because we have kind of peeled it back a little bit and done some real talk about, like, the realities, not only, like, the real realities of these two gentlemen's careers, but you also have to kind of put into a 21st century context a lot of the roles
exactly
that these guys are doing, and I wonder if that's why Hiddleston is doing period pieces, because he's like, you know, with the modern stuff,
right? And now I have a question to pose to you. I want to get your answer next week because I want you to think about it real hard.
Okay.
All right, I had a disturbing thought, and I'm just wondering if maybe you would come to the same conclusion. A lot of these period pieces, even the ones as recent as the 80s, anything set before, you know, with the, anything set prior to the last 30 years, say.
Okay.
I think those particular types of movies, films, and plays. The plays may live on, but I don't think the movies and the TV series will. I believe those are going to end up by the wayside because of the massive, massive changes in technology, in, you know, because they won't be relatable. Just like we were talking when we were doing the movies episode, like The Breakfast Club is not relatable to kids these days, to kids of this age. And they would not understand it. It wouldn't make any sense to them. They would think it was boring and stupid. And I'm afraid that a lot of the period pieces are going to end up going that way as well, because people are going to be sitting there going, why do we even care? Why is this important? What, you know, what's the point?
Right.
So, you know, that bothers me a lot. I would hate to see that happen, but I'm afraid that is exactly where we're headed.
Well, yeah, the shortcomings of this generation and the prior generation is they've been concentrating on prior heroes, and they don't have their own.
That is true too.
You know, who is the hero 2010 on?
Marvel Universe. That is what you're going to get from pretty much any of the kids. They're going to name a comic book hero. They're going to name a rock star. They're going to name a movie star. But imagination has kind of gone away as well. I ask any of my kids, you know, because one of the biggest things that I used to do with my kids when they were younger was play the imagination game. You know, you hold your hands in a certain position. Okay, what am I holding? One kid says, it's a box. I say, okay, and I look at the other child. What's in the box? And they say, well, let's say a snake. I'll be like, okay, and I'm opening the box. And I would mime opening the box, and the snake would jump out. And, you know, an imagination game. You try playing that with anyone over the age of 5 nowadays. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no,
kids do not use their imaginations anymore. And that is just kind of sad. It's like... Yeah, they're being pre-programmed from birth to allow other people to think for them, and that is a scary thought.
You tell them who the heroes are, and then they have to.
Well, you tell them what to think. You tell them how to feel. You tell them what is acceptable and what is not. Now, back in the day, we were told what was acceptable and what was not, and if we were willing to take the punishment for doing something unacceptable, then okay. Nowadays, it doesn't even matter. So, you know, it really worries me because we've created an entire society that's being told by the news media, depending on which one you watch, you know, what the truth is. Goes back to the same thing.
On a related note, you and I remember Loki from the 70s and 80s and the 90s in comics.
Right.
And he was just like a little shit.
He was horrible.
And, you know, I have to admit, they ended up updating Loki to being a gender-fluid anti-hero.
Instead of a bad guy.
And you know what? They actually made it work. And
they pulled it off.
He's the only example that I can think of where you can go into the 21st century and say, you know, here's somebody that you can maybe look up to, but... You know,
but he doesn't make all the right decisions.
Huh?
But he doesn't make all the right decisions. You know, he's still fallible.
Right.
And that's something that a lot of our superheroes, quote unquote, are missing nowadays. That's what a lot of our real life people that we should be able to look up to are missing. No one wants to admit their fallibility. No one wants to admit the possibility that they could be wrong.
Oh, yes. You're so right. Yes.
So, you know, when you've got an anti-hero such as Loki who, you know, he may not verbally admit, he may not come out and say, okay, look, I fucked up, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
But he does prove by his actions that he understands certain things that he's done to be wrong.
Right. Wow. And that's what a revelation you've come upon.
I do have one every now and then.
Well, and you know, and Hiddleston, if it weren't for Hiddleston, really, we wouldn't have come to that.
Oh, if it weren't for Hiddleston playing Loki the way that he did, mm-hmm. I don't think we would have seen him past the first Thor.
Right. Absolutely.
But on that note, yep, this is definitely a two-parter. That or we can just continue the discussion focusing on Johnny Depp's movies next week.
Well, we seem to have kind of hit Tom hard. Let's kind of take the same approach and maybe apply that to Depp's movies. And I think that will be very interesting.
We can definitely do that. But guys, do not get me wrong. Tom is still my favorite half of the duo. So, you know, is no insult was intended during this podcast. If you heard it,
no.
That's not what it was meant for. And, you know, Tom, we love you. We'd love to see more of you. Well, I mean, we've already seen pretty much all of you, but you know, we'd like to see you in more things.
I hope he's the next James Bond. That being said, I hope he's the next James Bond.
I hope he's you and me both. That would be amazing. Yeah. But we are at an hour and 10 minutes. So unless, we're going to have to cut this one down, but we can definitely continue this next week. 100%. And I agree with you, Carrie. The less structured format tends to work for us.
Yeah.
So
this has been thought-provoking.
It certainly has been. And on that note, if you will go ahead and tell them how they can reach us by email, I will pull up the Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners phone number and That way they know how to contact us.
Yep. Hang on. I'm suddenly distracted by a message that I just got.
Uh-oh. Work?
No.
Uh-oh. All right, guys, you can reach us at depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. You can go to our blog at depheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can go to barryreese.net and click on the link. And we also have our dedicated phone line. Give me 2 seconds and I will have that for you. Let's see. I need to write this down or memorize it, one of the two. Our Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners phone number is 949-373-5476. So keep listening, keep watching, keep looking out for us. Give us a call. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and what you think. Give us a call. We may put you on one of our podcasts. Anyway, we are well over time. So until next week, I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace and love.
Love and peace, guys. Bye.
Bye.